you know, was trying not to be occupied with it while I was on time off. I, of course, heard Kevin's message, and in it, in part, he said asking, seeking, and knocking. And so that just rang in my heart. I knew that was this week's lectionary text. So that's just kind of where we landed. But I want to go back and revisit two verses. We're going to talk a little bit first about the entire passage, but I'd like to go back and highlight verses 9 and 10. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Let us pray. Father, your Spirit takes your word and puts it exactly where we can receive it in each heart. So this is both corporate work through preaching, but it's also highly individual, what you say, what you intend for each individual person to hear. We thank you for this great work, Lord. Let the miracle of Pentecost be repeated in our hearts this very moment as we hear you speaking in our own tongue. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. There's so much to be said here, and I really didn't want Kevin to pull me aside afterward and say, you know, you really should have, blah, blah, blah. I know he feels passionately about this particular, the Lord's Prayer, okay? The way we say it is not the way Jesus gave it. We take that with a grain of salt because it was a team prayer. It was supposed to be, this is a model, this is an outline, this is how you pray. And so when the disciples asked, he gave them a prayer that would model how they should pray in the future. Of course, church being church, what we've done is taken it and printed it out word for word, and that's what I'm saying. But I think anyone who goes long in prayer knows that life of prayer grows and springs out of the Lord's Prayer. A life of surrendered, obedient discipleship springs right out of the Lord's Prayer. But a couple things there. The passage, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is a masterful jump, translator's jump around a very specific couple of words there. The evil one. Somehow the church just doesn't like to say it out loud that we should be saved from the temptations and works of the evil one. So, and you can work that translation all the way out, and you don't have to take my word for it. You can do word-for-word interlinear studies and stuff. But it means evil one. And that means we have a direct enemy, someone who is a direct opposition to God the Father's will in our lives. And we want to be protected from that. We want to be discerning. We want to have insight into his activity. And so that's what it says. However, the church translates it. It's sort of like the translations around born again. Jesus didn't say born again. He said born from above. But if you're born of water and of the Spirit, you're born a second time, which is born again. You see, the logic in the translation of born again is that it is being born again, this time from above. Same way here. This translation is meant to broaden but yet keep the meaning of what was being said. Now, I can't remember the last words after that. Honor, glory, whatever. Those words are called a doxology. It was common practice in the early Christian church and, you know, in Judaism, especially in the Psalms, to add a well-known doxology. A glory to God, a doxa, glory to God, at the end of prayers and psalms of praise. And so at the end of the Lord's Prayer, the church is just so wonderfully tacked on. And it's been from the beginning. Now, I'm not saying that somebody wrote it in pen last week, okay? In some of the earliest translations, it is present. It was added there, a doxology. That's why I personally don't have any problem saying that doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer. I know it's been there from the beginning, a long, long time. And I know why it's put there. But there are arguments about whether in purity we should just leave it off. Just so you know, in case you were wondering whether I'd approach that or not today, I did. But I want to focus on asking, seeking, and knocking. There's a lot that in a lifetime of prayer, I, along with many of you, especially if you're older, we've had things before the Lord for years and years and years. There have been prayers that we put out there, and we continue to refresh those. We revisit those. We remind the Lord that we still got a request ticket in. Asking, seeking, and knocking is a lifetime experience of learning submission and appreciation for God's will. But the phrase, ask, seek, and knock, along with the Lord's Prayer, so I'm kind of spanning all of this, they come from a body of work of Jesus. One thing I'm loving about following the series The Chosen is it adds potentially what, you know, brought about certain phrases and sayings. And so if they just speculate, it's fiction, it's not Bible. But it gives you a way of imagining into how actual phrases and encounters came about. And it's like this. We know from too much evidence that the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' standard sermon. It was the sermon enough to get him in trouble. It was the one that split open the fissures and divisions among the religious parties of his day. The Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew 5, 6, 7. It's where Jesus is giving the ask, seek, knock and talking about the kingdom of God. Conversely, Jesus taught his disciples in response to their request a prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. It's probably the Apostles' Prayer. But in that context of teaching his disciples, it became a part of his Sermon on the Mount. It became a part of the heart of his teaching. And so, in retrospect, we look at the scriptures and taking them all together, we see that Jesus constantly said certain things. And if we look at the whole body of what Jesus had to say, it was all in the context of the kingdom of God. He came preaching. After James and John came preaching, repent. Why? The kingdom of God is at hand. John receded, Jesus came forth. Jesus said the same thing. Repeat, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so when we talk about asking, seeking, and knocking, I want to look at it in terms of the kingdom of God. The idea that God is the king, that there is a ruler that we acknowledge, and prayer as our direct interaction with the king. Jesus uses these three words. We know they illustrate the importance of persistent prayer, right? Because he goes right into a parable about knocking and seeking and finding, and about how a good father wouldn't give a serpent, you know? But it's the verb here used each time suggests continuous action. Asking. Continually asking. Continually seeking. Continually knocking. And continually getting. Finding. And having the door opened. So seeking, knocking, asking, seeking, knocking, they're not just isolated activities, but they can go hand in hand. Some people have suggested that these are a progression, and what Jesus meant was, you know, first you ask, then you begin to diligently seek for and dig for and search, and then you pound the door, right? It culminates in a not relenting in your knocking until somebody answers that door. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. as our commitment to what is being asked increases, so does our desperation to reach God. But this is really about our relationship with the King. Jesus starts to say, ask. It's astonishing. It is astonishing, the people who are functionally atheists, who claim to be Christian, but never ask God anything. Oh, I couldn't do that. That's just not for me. I couldn't possibly ask God about my lost diamond and my Lord, it was right there in the trap, the pea trap of my sink, but I'm not going to ask you about it, Lord. And God cares. God cares. And we don't ask. And I'll tell you one thing, if my kid don't ask, you know what I'm saying? Probably the first lesson we could learn from today's sermon is, if you don't ask, you'll never receive, and if you ask, you're going to get something. Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. Okay? Let's hold that intention for a minute, because we know, we all know, we didn't get that big, red, shiny thing we asked for sometimes. But that's not to say that a believer always gets what they're asking for. It just means that the more time we spend in communion with God, speaking to Him, the more our attitudes and our wills and our desires are going to come into alignment with God's. Right? For me, one of the things I've noticed in The Chosen is how people come to Jesus with a request. Sometimes it's got barbs on it, right? And we see that in the Scriptures. They come and they look like a porcupine. And they say something to Jesus, kindly, politely, but it's loaded with prickles. And Jesus says something right back that just disarms. And that's what Jesus does when we come to Him with our requests. He gives an answer. And it's not a harsh one. It's not a, here's a serpent because you asked for an egg. It's a progressive answer. It's an answer that will bring you to further understanding. And so if we embrace and ask for the meaning and the purpose of His answer, it will give us much good, right? And that begins to show a dependence on God. As we go to Him with our request, we say, now, I recognize this might not be totally in line with your will, but this is where I'm starting. I'm putting in this request, Lord. I'm sure You can shape this up for me. I'm sure You'll get around to what's the good thing. But this is what I'm concerned. I care about this. This is important. And I'm asking You about it. How can you imagine a God who is good and loving and faithful who doesn't care what you care about? His ultimate desire is to have your will come into alignment with His. Through your learning how to bring your desire to Him so that we can grow. Praying shows a dependence on God. Praying in all things shows absolute dependence on God. Just for a show of hands. Who got up this morning, put your feet on the floor, and said, God, you know, I think I got this one today. Just check me off. Who did that? Absolutely you did. If you didn't give your whole day to God, if you didn't ask Him how to shape your day and how to get you in line with Him throughout the day, you most certainly did say, I got this one, God. Thanks a lot. Don't call me home before 5 o'clock this afternoon. At any minute, as I've discovered in my personal life yesterday, those who are younger than us, and we ourselves, our time here has a stamp on it. It comes suddenly, like a thief in the night. Let's be found trusting God when that time comes. And relying on Him. Then he goes on and takes it deeper, not only asking, but seeking. Seeking means searching. Searching. It's going beyond simply asking for stuff. Asking something. It involves going deeper with God into His character and His purposes. It doesn't matter how flawed our character is compared to God, because we know one thing: God's character is perfect. And not only do all humans know God has a perfect character, they also know innately what it is. What makes a good character? We know basically, especially from the Decalogue, what it means that God is good. It's been defined. We know it. When we recognize Jesus' character, we see God. When we see Jesus' character, we know it's good. And our character needs to come into line with His purpose, His will, His guidance. So what is it we're seeking when we're seeking and searching? We're searching and seeking for God Himself. The Scriptures overflow with this impertinent, not impertinent, too many words, this irresistible cry to God to know Him. Listen, in Psalm 27, verse 8, it says, "My heart says, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I seek. Your face I seek." Psalm 105, verse 4. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." Seeking, searching, digging for God's presence, you will surely find. Seeking God's face is praying to God to get to know Him. Personally, something about the smell of nice coffee aroma in my nose makes me feel like I'm getting there. In the morning, early, seeking God's face means beholding Him in His glory in a way that is perfectly natural between you and your God. In a way that has you feeling like you're a cherished child. Seeking God's face is praying to get to know Him. How about this? What pleases you about whatever today, God? What brings you great joy today in my life? If you really want to get squirrely with it, this is a really good prayer. God, tell me what you think about me. God, what do you... just tell me about how much you love me. Now, I know there's a lot of Christians who preach a lot of abstinence, like just stay away from God's request about you. You know, just tough it out. You don't ask God about yourself. You pray for others. Boy, we had a generation or two of people who just were taught, you only pray for others. But you know what? You are no earthly good to anybody else if you never pray for yourself. I say all the time, God, my bucket just empty. Oh, Sarah just shot a hole in the bottom of my bucket. It's draining fast. Help! Fill my bucket. In order to be in God's fire brigade and put out everybody's fires, you've got to have your bucket full of what? Water or sand or whatever. How are you going to get that filled if you don't ask and seek God's face? Communicate with Him. Seek instructions from Him. And finally, He says, knock and the door will be opened. You know, He speaks of this in relationship to that parable He gave about knocking persistently. Knocking, knocking, knocking. Persistence and perseverance in prayer while you're facing obstacles. You know, it's like if, the cliff is approaching and you're about to go over and you're still praying, God, I believe You got this. I believe you got this. And at the very last second, God says, go ahead and jump. And you say, I was trying not to go over. Well, okay. And find he's there at the bottom to receive. Knocking, though, it implies that you know there's something on the other side of the door, okay? I don't walk up to anything and knock on it so somebody else will hear it in the room I'm in. The only reason I ever knock on the door is to get a response from the other side of that door. Having asked and inquired, having searched and sought the way, having arrived at this point at the door, I now knock and I knock and I knock. No. You can be quiet in there, God, but I know you're in there. I know you're in there. Knock, 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 knock. You say, oh, God, I didn't do that. Yeah, he does. Sorry. If God never taught you anything, that's fine. This is what I know about teaching children how to ask. I want them to be confident that there will be an answer. Not that there's no answer. No answer coming. Nobody here. Nobody there. No, God has an answer. And if my dad answered something once, typically I could ask again, but I wasn't going to get another answer. You know, the same answer that was in place is still in place. If you're 50, 30 years down the road from the last time God spoke to you and said, hey, go here, do this, and you're kind of wondering right now, God, what is your will for my life? What is the purpose? What's my standing? If he hasn't said anything to you, the last thing he answered you is the thing. You keep right on doing what he has said to do. You can't operate on the hope for a change of orders in the middle of the battle. You continue until word comes for something else. Today, I was wrestling so hard with a sermon that I didn't want to give because I don't understand yet. Maybe you'll get it next week, I hope. I'm just looking for deeper understanding and answers before I give it. But I am knocking. And I'm believing that there is someone on the other side of that door who has a delay for his own purpose, who delays for my good. The answer is not there because I can't comprehend it, accept it, or even hear it. The commands to ask, seek, and knock, Jesus follows by saying, everyone who asks receives. Who is everyone? That's you and me. Everyone who asks receives. And he says, the one who seeks finds. And we sang a song just a little while ago about seeking. We said, seek ye first. Jesus said, seek. And here you go saying the first thing you should seek in Matthew, he says, is the kingdom of God. His righteousness. We're all the way back around to Jesus' message about the kingdom of God arriving. And then finally, the one for whom, or I don't know the proper English, the one who's knocking on the door gets an answer. The door is open. The part I couldn't tackle and still don't get some answers this week from the Lord. Has to do with hearing correctly and not letting your heart run away with something God says. Listening to God requires a maturity of Christian discipleship that you can only learn in the life of prayer. It is only through asking, seeking, and knocking that your spirit and your character will continue to develop. And you may get a lot of it wrong in the meantime, but God wasn't wrong to say it. You just hear it the way you want to hear it sometimes. Or you say, God, I thought And he said, that's right, you thought. You know, stick to the script. Stick to what I told you. There are many things that go unanswered like that. Up until recently in my life, there was nothing open. But God had satisfied my heart with every open question with a closed answer. But recently in time, there have been a lot of questions opened with no immediate answer. That's what I want to share with you about next week, is some of the open questions still in my heart that I hope will benefit all of us. But I know, because I know families, that in your life right now, there's a child, or a sibling, or a parent, or a grandparent. There's someone in your life right now that if you could pray, persistently, scratching, not just asking, but searching, knocking, you would do that. And as I said, I don't hint that God is mean, but sometimes God waits until the right moment. It can take 5 seconds or 5 years or 50 years. Sometimes the moment cracks open and you're unsuspecting. Would you resist the calling, the luring of the Holy Spirit at this moment? At this altar, would you pass up an opportunity to seek, ask, and knock in the moment when God responds in a public way? We want to take time now at this open altar for those who, whatever it is, you know, you come and open that case file with God, dust it off, and even go to the bar of God. You know, say, this is my request. This is my petition. I desire to be heard. If that's the formality of your relationship or even the formality of the request needed, come to this altar. We're going to take just a few minutes. I'm not going to sit here and sing 30 verses of Just As I Am. I'm not going to beg anybody to pray. Some people sure want you to. We'll take time, and when that time has passed, obviously, we'll move on.